Laver.
This is Cambridge Radio.
I'm going to read you the menu. It's fantastic.
So we get better flavour because of the fen soil.
I've drunk more beer since I came here and bought my two barrels than I've ever done in my life before, I think.
I shouldn't have said Hellmann's. They don't make it from Hellmann's.
So you've got this big sticky mess when you start off.
Pizza pot pies.
My wife's cakes are selling up hot cakes. Brilliant, thank you.
The time is right for this sort of thing.
Food is everything.
Cambridge is right for this sort of thing.
What's it like? Cambridge.
Welcome to Flavour, our fortnightly look at Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire's food and drink scene. Alan Alder and I are here in the Gwydir Street studio with lots of news and stories. So, what have you been up to this week, Alan?
Well, I was really pleased to meet up with Inder Bull, who achieved Gold Star status in Cambridge, along with the BBC Radio 4 Food and Farming Award for her curries a few years ago when she ran Inder's Kitchen. I asked her about her forthcoming pop-up at Café Abantu and any plans she has for the future, and I had a nice chat also with Danny Izquierdo, who is from Ecuador originally and is doing all sorts of exciting foodie things in and around Cambridge, including a Latin American supper club later this month.
Okay, well, I've been finding out about an art space and cafe and bar that's being planned. More about that very shortly. We've also had a chat with Rafael, who sells Spanish food on Cambridge Market.
How good. And we'll have our regular features on the programme, free food in Cambridge, local food and drink news, social media updates, and at the end of the programme, our jobs roundup.
So we begin with a visit to Chesterton Road, by the Mitcham's Corner roundabout, actually, where a man who 20 years ago made a couple of highly acclaimed theatre projects based on the music of Syd Barrett and Pink Floyd. He's worked on projects since with the Royal Shakespeare Company and ran the successful Other Side venue at the Engineer's House. In a few weeks' time, he's going to open The Artist, that's artist spelt with a Y, an ethical arts business cafe.
Now, Syd Barrett, one of the founding members of the Pink Floyd, has died at the age of 60.
He inspired musicians from Bowie to Blur.
He spoke through his songs.
A guiding light who leaves a legacy which continues to inspire.
But the guitar playing, it's, you know, that minimalist sort of dissonant style influenced punk, it influenced indie music.
With their lead guitarist and singer Syd Barrett, were banned from the Queen Elizabeth Hall after covering it in Daffodils.
Certainly Syd looked like he was famous before he was famous.
I mean, there were fans who stayed with the Floyd because of Barrett, because of their love of Barrett.
He was very stylish.
This is take five, and it's a four-track copy of take two.
Hello, my name's Matthew Taylor, and I'm standing on Chesterton Road at the site of the old HSBC Bank.
Lean out of the window.
Which we're converting into a new cafe, bar and event space commemorating the life and work of Syd Barrett.
Golden
hair. Check out the floor.
We've got the colours specially mixed.
Oh, I'm being silly, aren't I? So you've done this.
Oh, we've done that,
yes,
yeah.
Sorry.
So you can see a stripy floor.
Red and black stripes.
Which looks like the Syd Barrett album cover, The Madcap Laughs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fascinating story. And I think that's why people still remember him and want to celebrate him. Yeah, it's that combination. It's the creative genius who suffers for his art, I suppose.
Syd Barrett was a musical legend, although he'd been a recluse for 30 years.
Yeah, I'm of a generation which remember Floyd when they were first around. And so we just thought they've made a huge impact, not just locally, but globally. But there's not really that much celebration of their achievements. There's a Syd Barrett plaque at Anglia Ruskin. Some pubs have got photographs, and I think there's a mural, I think. Is it the Anchor Pub? You think of other places which have got famous rock bands that achieve global fame, like the Beatles, of course, in Liverpool, Black Sabbath recently in Birmingham. Yeah, they make a big thing out of it.
Yeah.
But Cambridge has never really, I don't think, fully acknowledged the impact of Pink Floyd and Syd Barrett. And of course, Syd Barrett was there right at the very beginning. Yeah. He was their original writer and frontman and just a very charismatic chap who launched the band, really.
If you look at a band like The Libertines, someone like Pete Doherty, he's completely bound up in his Syd Barrett influences.
How he was this creative genius who kick-started a particular form of music.
But as their success grew, there were stories of excessive drug-taking, and Syd Barrett was clearly becoming ill. His behaviour was increasingly erratic.
Yes, took too many drugs and had to come back to Cambridge and then stopped doing music altogether. He didn't stop being creative. Originally, he thought of himself as an artist. So he went back to painting. That's what he spent his time doing.
His music was a hobby.
Yes.
His art was him.
Yeah.
He was an artist.
And he never liked the limelight anyway. He was quite a shy chap. It all depends on the lens through which you view his life story, really. Clearly, he had issues, and a lot of creative people do.
I didn't know that creativity was such a drive. Vital as much as food and drink.
So what we're trying to do here is create a space in which everybody feels welcome, but people who are suffering from stress, if they just want a place where they feel comfortable and at ease. But, yeah, a lot of people associated with the project are very much focused on well-being, and they're part of the project because that's what they particularly like. The focus isn't on stand-up drinking. The focus is on the well-being side of things.
A well-being cafe. Something especially important in recent years, where COVID and social media have encouraged more and more interaction digitally and distanced. Here is a venue free of past social convention, like traditional cafes and pubs. This is about connection in a time when many might feel disconnected. Perhaps this is something that Syd himself would have appreciated.
We've built a hatch, a little window onto the street. We'll be able to serve people who just want to stop and grab a coffee or an ice cream.
A serving hatch.
Serving hatch, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So that you don't even have to come in if you don't want to. We have got some outside space. There's a big pavement at the front. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a good few chairs. So I think in the evening, sun shines on the pavement. It's a cafe bar, but there's no pressure to drink alcohol. We'll have a lot of non-alcoholic drinks. Mm-hmm. Our food will be vegan. So you won't feel under pressure to behave as if you were in a bar with your mates where you feel under some pressure to drink 6 pints a night or whatever. It'll be much more clearly on well-being. We don't want to be prescriptive. If somebody wants a bottle of wine to share with their friends and it's got alcohol in it, absolutely fine. But the emphasis is very much on non-alcoholic drinks and food, which is vegan and vegetarian friendly. We've got a big basement, which we're working to turn into a multi-purpose space. Yeah. So phase one is getting the cafe and the bar set up, and then phase two is opening up the basement. So down there, we'll have space for workshops, music workshops, yoga sessions.
So we're lifting off this centre panel?
No, this bit.
Oh, this bit.
Yeah. And then...
OK.
Rail. But this is the thing that really attracted me to the space.
Yeah.
Because the basement is actually bigger than the ground floor.
Can we check it out?
Yes, let's go down.
Brilliant.
Yeah, be careful here.
Yeah, don't worry about me, I'm replaceable.
Wow, look at this. It's brilliant.
Yeah, so I'd say it's bigger than the ground floor.
Huh.
And it's got a higher ceiling. But yeah, there'll be a small bar down here as well. There'll be a little servery as well. So yeah, we can do film shows, we can do talks. One of the first things we're thinking of doing is, I don't know if you've heard of a chap called Rob Chapman. He's written 2 or 3 books on Syd Barrett. So, yeah, one of the first events here will be a talk by Rob Chapman on his latest book.
I had this email from Warren Desange's daughter.
Oh, yes.
About her dad's passing.
Yes. Now,
by the time we broadcast this, his funeral will have been on the Wednesday.
Yes.
Warren was a good friend of Syd's.
Yes.
Did you know Warren?
I knew Warren. We did talks and walks based on Syd. And Warren, he was the expert, because he knew Syd. I think he was at school with him. And I think he was his manager when he went solo. I'm not quite sure about that. Mm. And he's written a book on Cambridge in the 60s and the whole music scene back then, which was very vibrant. Because he used to run called Hope Yard.
Did he run Hope Street
Yard?
Yeah,
he ran Hope Street Yard, yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
God, oh.
Yeah, when it was full of little antique places.
Yeah, that was great then.
Yeah. So, yes, I knew Warren. Yeah, really nice guy. Yeah. We want to encourage free speech, mm-hmm. Critical thinking. One of the tours is on Wittgenstein. He's buried very near me at the top of Huntingdon Road. So the idea behind our tours is that they might start, say, at the Ascension Parish Burial Ground, but then the walk would end up here, a special cocktail sort of based on Wittgenstein. Yeah, so we want to do as many of those as possible as well.
And presumably one about Sid.
Yes.
And, of course, as we were saying earlier about the blue plaque at Anglia Ruskin, yeah. He studied there when it was CCAT, wasn't
it? Yes. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it was an art school as well, wasn't it,
yeah.
Back then? And I think that's where he met Mick Rock.
He had a lot of time for Mick Rock. Sid liked him. Mm. I've got a really, really lovely photo of Sid that Mick Rock took, which is just face, and he's looking really cheeky. It's really good. And Mick Rock said, I caught him when he was looking cheeky.
Yes.
And that's lovely. He was a brilliant photographer, I believe.
I believe so,
yeah.
Yes.
Warren DeSange and Mick Rock were key people in Sid Barrett's life. It's the intention of this venue to celebrate these people, his friends, because we are all the product of our interactions. So, if you visit the artist, you'll probably find articles and photos of Warren, Mick, and plenty of others adorning the walls of this Sid Barrett Cambridge Cafe.
Sid had 30 years. He was sculpting, he was painting, he was working in the garden. So there was this sense that although we look upon it as tragic, the loss of Sid Barrett prior to his death, you can actually see it as, well, maybe he was happier then, because especially towards the latter period of his fame, he didn't seem happy at all.
We're still decorating, finishing things off, but it should be more or less complete within the next 3 to 4 weeks, we hope. I mean, again, I hope it's a continuation of what we were doing before, where we had all sorts of clubs and groups meeting up. We had sewing clubs and poetry reading and all sorts. The more of that that's going on here, the happier we'll be.
Better do that again, please. Okay, I'm ready.
That was Matthew Taylor and his Sid Barrett-themed cafe and bar called The Artist. And as they get closer to opening, he's looking for volunteers to help out with various aspects of the cafe. And he also has a crowdfunding page. Just search for The Artist, that's spelt with a Y, on crowdfunder.co.uk. We are really looking forward to this one. It's great to see such an interesting new venue that promises to help so many people with its arts and its well-being programme. Something that could really foster future local legends.
Yeah, that's, I'm looking forward to it opening too. That just sounds fantastic. And what Matthew said about how other cities tend to celebrate their artists. I mean, in Liverpool, it's just extraordinary. You know, there are tour buses that take you around parts of the city the Beatles came from or played at. There's a Beatles museum. A Liverpool museum's got quite a lot about them. And there's any number of Beatles souvenir shops. And there's even a Beatles hotel called A Hard Day's Night. But in Cambridge, you know, you struggle to find any mention of Pink Floyd or Sid Barrett, you know,
other than,
you know, the odd blue plaque that isn't easily seen.
Yes,
so
yeah.
This is welcome news. Now, details of free food available in and around Cambridge and the information about what's available and where to get it comes from the Olio app, and that exists so that people's or businesses' surplus food doesn't go to waste.
Yeah, and on Olio today, we've got Petra, who lives on Hills Road, just down past Addenbrookes on the way to Abraham Road. She's got 20 white batons to give away. Next up is Kelly and Violet Close off Yarrow Road with a box of Twinings English breakfast available. And then there's Tom in King's Hedges. He's got lots of bakery goods, including cinnamon rolls and chocolate twists available for collection, as well as 14 baguettes and batons going spare. And that's it, really. Somewhat slim pickings from this morning, but that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes on the Olio app.
Well, don't miss out on the Too Good To Go app as well. That brings you unsold food from restaurants, cafes and shops, often at less than half price. You just go along and pick it up at the end of the day, and it consists of the stuff they haven't sold during the day, and that saves it from being binned. Lots of independents use it, as do many big-name businesses, so it's well worth investigating.
OK, and now on to our first first news break, and here's a half-price food offer, not related to Too Good To Go. This one is from Tawa Bites in Hills Road. Their comfort bowl is half price until the 19th of February.
And here are three pieces of news that will delight the adventurous eater who's always in search of something new. Number one, the Cherry Pit in King Street, which we featured last time, has its first special pie. It's called a Tar Heel in the United States, Southern States, and it will be around for a couple of weeks. And second, Noshi, the Afghan cafe and restaurant in Mill Road, is now serving Mirza Ghassemi, a northern Iranian breakfast dish, and it comes served with a tandoori naan.
And third, Hot Numbers Bakery is launching a monthly special bread, which will be available every weekend for a month. The breads are from around the world, and February's special is limpa, a Swedish bread. It's a treacle-sweetened rye bread with caraway and orange zest, and it's apparently really good toasted with butter, or good also with a cheese board or charcuterie.
This is big news. If chocolate is your thing, the Cambridge Chocolate Festival is happening for one day, and that day is the 15th of February, and it looks fantastic. The sellers there are Anisa and Chocolate, Bite Size Bakehouse, Honey Shed Bakery, Nanette Chocolates, Rachel Bakes, Sweet Keto Chef, Truffles and Chocolates, Anna Couture Chocolates, Mayoi Cacao, VG Hot Chocolate, Bean Dock Chocolate, Chocolate Genie, Chocolat Chocolat, Hello Sunshine Online, Small and Green Gifts, Crafts by Kate, Always Crafty, and Duck Egg Designs. Oh, and Amber B Pottery. The festival runs from 10 till 5, and the entry is only £1, which you can pay at the door. It takes place at the Cambridge Union Society, and that can be found behind the Round Church in Bridge Street.
And that's not all. There are two fascinating workshops as well. The first is chocolate and cheese pairings. That's from 12 till 1:30, where there will be four typical cheese board cheeses and four different types of chocolate. That's £16. Next is the chocolate and wine pairings from 2 till 3:30, which will have three different brownie and three different blondie flavours created by Anna of Honey Shed Bakery, each one paired with a different wine from James Aldridge of Corney and Barrow. And the price for that one is £15. Tickets for the workshops are available from the Eventbrite website, and there's an all-day drop-in chocolate workshop too. Dogs are welcome, especially chocolate dogs. Sounds good. That's all the news for now. More later.
There's a resurgence of pop-ups and supper clubs in the Cambridge area, something we're very glad to see. We'll be talking to Danny of Danny Cook's later about her forthcoming supper club. But first, the excellent news that Inda, late of Inda's Kitchen, is doing a pop-up at Cafe Abantu in Hobson Street soon. For people who were around between 2011 and 2017, Inda's Kitchen was the source of outstanding Indian food. I went along to Cafe Abantu and asked her and the cafe's owner, Wendy Slade, to find out what's on offer, what the future holds and what Inda's been up to since closing Inda's Kitchen. Inda, it's nice to see you again, and you're doing a pop-up.
Yes, I've been drawn back into food. Obviously, has always been a huge passion of mine. So, yes, even after closing Inda's Kitchen, it still calls to me. So here I am.
And Wendy, it's your place.
Yes, Cafe Abantu.
How did it come about?
Well, Inda and I, we're very good friends. Another friend, Natasha. We kind of just want to have a bit of fun and just get people in and just enjoy ourselves with a really good curry from Inda.
Well, let's find out what it's going to be. Inda, what's on the menu?
I'm just going to go for some real favourites, some real classics, so people know what they're going to get. So we're going to just start with the classics, so some poppadoms, some obviously all homemade chutneys, just as table snacks, and then go into a sort of potato cake, again with some homemade chutneys, chickpea salad. And then I think it just had to be butter chicken, so we'll go back to the classic. Obviously a veg option, and then tarka dal. Wendy's favourite sagaloo, so that had to make an appearance, and obviously just rice and bread. And then, as Wendy's already mentioned, and I'm sure she'll tell you a little bit more, our friend Natasha is a dessert queen, so we're going to leave that in her very capable hands to round up.
Right, OK, tell us about the desserts then, Wendy.
Well, we were going to do a classic brownie, and to just give it a little bit of Indian twist, we're going to add some Indian spices and cardamom and cardamom cream and stuff like that, which is on Inda's suggestion. So, it'll be really good to include it include Natasha to just come in and do that dessert. Something
and
simple.
And Natasha is works here?
Natasha Wood came to me in my very first location very long ago with a CV in hand. And I then had a placement, called her up. She started working with me, and she's worked for me in all three locations. So to include her in this and for her to have some fun with us is one of the major objections to this event.
Right. And is this just very much a one-off, or is the possibility of doing more?
We'd like to say yes, but let's see how this one goes.
Okay. And are you licensed, though? Because part of having the fun is having some nice wine or beer, isn't it?
We are licensed for the evening, and we have Ben coming from King Street Cellar, and he's coming with his fabulous wines. So wine and beer will be served by glass, and he'll be bringing the bottles with him so that right. You can actually purchase his wine on the night, or you can just nip down the road and get something else if you like. But he's fantastic. We're going to give him the menu. He's going to give us the wines to go with the menu.
Brilliant.
And we're going to have a real goodie, because Ben is a super, super entertainer.
Right.
So he will be there to entertain, definitely, with his wine.
Good. Indra, I've got to ask you, since Indra's kitchen closed, what have you been up to?
Well, I reconnected with my career in pharma. So I've been working sort of agency side predominantly in London. So I've been doing the schlep in and out of the city. And it's been good. I've really enjoyed it. And it's sort of given me, you know, an income. But I'm just always drawn to food. So I still like to go out and, you know, go to all the lovely places in Cambridge. Obviously still have very good friends in the industry, such as Tash and Wendy. And it, in truth, probably didn't take too much persuasion for me to have another go. So I'm really excited about
right.
it.
So you miss Indra's Kitchen?
I do. Well, I'm not sure so much about Indra's Kitchen, but I do kind of miss being involved in the industry. So I think this is just a really nice way of just staying connected. And hopefully there's still a few, you know, Indian food fans out there that will come along. That'll be really nice to see some old familiar faces. So let's see how we go. But I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. And Wendy said that you might possibly have at some time in the future a Kenyan night. But that's your heritage, presumably.
Yeah, that's right. So my heritage is East Africa. So what I have been doing since Indra's Kitchen, true to form, is dabbling with lots of different new cuisines. And so I really wanted to kind of learn some really good Kenyan dishes, sort of Swahili chicken curry and their lovely rotis. So I went to Kenya last year, took my family, a fabulous chef out there, who sort of gave me a few sort of tricks of the trade.
Oh, right.
So all being well, we can bring that to
And is it very different from what we think of as Indian food? Is it different spices or...?
There is definitely an overlap of spices. It's a different sort of combination, and that they use coconut milk and curry powder, whereas I think sort of certain North Indian food is more garam masala. It's a different sort of spice blend. But it's very rich. It's definitely got some beautiful spices in there.
Yeah.
And then just using kind of the local, produce, things like, as I say, coconut and, you know, chicken quite a lot as well. The breads are fabulous. There is definitely a nod, I think, to sort of the Indian flavours. But it's quite distinctive, and it's, I think it'd be nice to kind of share that with them.
That sounds intriguing.
Yeah.
And you've done a South African night before, I think, Bunny Chow.
Yeah, we did that. We did that, didn't we, Wendy? It was great fun. It's literally sort of a whole loaf of bread, if you can imagine, just cut in half. You scoop out all of the soft bread in the middle and sort of leave the case, and then you fill that with curry. And the idea is that you kind of eat the curry with the bread, and it will kind of just disappears, you know, on your plate. But we did that 2 years ago, Wendy. It was a lot of fun.
It's the South African version of a kebab when we go out at night. So when we go out at night, we go for a bunny chow. We don't have kebab, and you don't have any cutlery. It's all just wrapped in paper, and that's how you eat.
Yes,
so
it's an easy eat. Yeah,
it is, and it's a fun way of doing food. And like I say, that's our after a night out, we go for bunny chow, not kebabs.
Okay, well, thanks very much, and I hope it goes. Oh, when is it? What's the date?
It is Thursday the 20th. 7 o'clock.
And yeah. Booking is done how?
Just by email. We haven't got any of those fancy apps to do your booking.
Right.
It's just
so the email
contact
is...
me or come into the shop or give me a ring. Yeah. And it's Wendy at cafe-abantu.co.uk. But we will have, I'll put it on social media. It has gone out in the indie newspaper. We will put some posters up in the shop. And we tend to fill up pretty quickly because we can only take 28 to 30 people.
Yeah.
We can, of course, take one big booking for the big table. But, yeah.
Right,
we
okay.
fill up fast, so get emailing.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, what good news. And let's hope there are more evenings with Inda, Wendy and Natasha.
And more news now. And over in Congratulations Corner, it's Alex Rushmer of Vanderlyle. He's been judged by Square Meal to be one of the top 100 places to eat in the UK. Meanwhile, Scott is in there too, celebrating Scots All Day, being cited as a local gem by the Good Food Guide. Also, there is the Cambridge Juice Company, which is an amazing 25 years old. And Wendy from Cafe Abantu is celebrating the cafe's first 7 years. Congratulations to them all.
And in other news, Catalina from Fermentable is back with another fermentation workshop at the Gog Farm Shop on the 13th of March, and bookings are being taken now.
Also back are Spanish croquetas at Cambridge Market on Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays from the Pinchito stall. Rafael has lots of different Spanish foods, but here he is talking about his croquetas. Later in the programme, we'll have the full interview.
I prepare also croquetas. It's croquettes. In my case, I always prepare instead of butter with extra virgin olive oil, the bechamel sauce. I try to be creative with the flavors. So sometimes can be the normal ones, mushroom, spinach. But sometimes I prepare one of my favorites, the margarita, like the pizza. So it's a basil tomato mozzarella in a croquette. It's very, very nice. But I prepare when I think I'm going to sell them easily, because sometimes you can bring here 100 croquettes and it's a bad day in the market, you have to throw away or something. So, you know, I choose when I bring them.
The Market Square coffee and cake stall is back after a 6-week break. That's on Fridays and Saturdays. They have superb homemade cakes, not least of which is their burnt Basque cheesecake. And their coffee is from the Algerian coffee store in Soho.
Scots All Day in Mill Road is now open from 9 a.m. every day except Monday, and you can breakfast on pancakes and pastries with locally roasted coffee from the Brew Project.
Burren is open in Mill Road now. It opened on Wednesday. It's taking bookings now. And Burren, of course, is operated by the people who operate Steak and Honour. It's getting some very nice reviews, and I must say it looks very good as well. MJP at the Shepherd's is opening now from Wednesdays to Saturdays. That's a change of opening days.
And you can make your nominations for Velvet Magazine's Food and Drink Awards online now. The categories are Chef of the Year, Pub or Bar, Farm Shop or Deli, Street Food or Pop-Up, Tea Room or Coffee Shop, Food Producer, Beverage Producer, Best Hotel, Hospitality Hero, Sustainability Hero and Food and Drink Hero. Nominations for these close at 11:59 on the 2nd of May.
On to some food classes coming up at Cambridge Cookery in Purbeck Road, which is off Hills Road. On the 13th of February, there's a masterclass with chef and food writer Ursula Farinio, which is quite a coup. It runs from 6:30 p.m. to 10:15 p.m. and costs £175. There are several classes for children during the half-term holiday, so here's just a selection. On the 18th of February, parent and child French baking from 1:30 to 3:45. And that covers plaited rye mixed bread, plain or chocolate brioche, and French sweet baguettes viennoise. And that's £95 for a parent and child and £50 for an additional child. Quick Curries for Children is on the 19th of February from 10 till 12:30. That's £60. And on the 20th of February, Classic Curries for Teens, again from 10 till 12:30. There are more, and the details are on the Cambridge Cookery website.
OK. Well, we're off for a quick break now, but we will be back in a couple of minutes with news of a Latin American pop-up, Rafael's Spanish hot food stall in Cambridge Market, a social media update, wine news and job vacancies. Don't go away.
Cambridge Radio podcasts tell the story of our city and the people who live here, serving the best of Cambridge breakfast.
Would you say if it was moved either to somewhere else, at CB1 area, not so prominent, or to even to another part of Cambridge?
I don't think that it's the wrong kind of art for Cambridge. I think it's the wrong kind of art to be a public work of art in a very public place.
Taste the local food scene in flavour.
And it became a really lovely community project built around local people, their heritage, their culinary heritage as well, which is super exciting.
Download the latest in tech with Gadget Guide.
Whilst it might be a little bit frustrating that, oh yeah, why is it that it breaks something, at least they are proactively stopping this being installed.
Listen to your favourite Cambridge podcast on Radio Player or wherever you get your podcasts.
I knew I was drinking too much, but I didn't know why. I thought I was on my own with my problems, but I called Alcoholics Anonymous in Cambridge, not knowing what to expect. They didn't judge or criticise me. AA gave me the support I needed to stop drinking and get myself back on track. If you're worried about your drinking, Alcoholics Anonymous can help you too. You could join one of their meetings in Cambridge or chat to them on the phone. You are one step away. Call Alcoholics Anonymous on 01603 621 128.
Cambridge Radio.
And welcome back to Flavour on Cambridge Radio. And earlier, we listed three pieces of news that would delight the adventurous eater, but here's a fourth, a Latin American pop-up, a fusion of Ecuadorian and Chilean foods, including Moro de Choclo, which I foolishly thought was something to do with chocolate, but it isn't. I spoke to chef Danny Izquierdo, who unusually has a master's in ecological economics, and she explained it all. Danny, you've got a supper club coming up. What sort of things are you going to be cooking? You're from Ecuador, so I guess some Ecuadorian food?
Yes, indeed, I'm cooking Ecuadorian food, but also I'm making a fusion, because I'm into fusion cuisine, with Chilean food. So our supper club is about Latin American food.
Right, so a fusion of Ecuadorian and Chilean. Right, yeah. Tell me some of the things on the menu.
We have palta reina and tuna ceviche. So palta reina is avocado, basically.
Avocado.
Yes. Yeah. You have this like a bed of avocado. And then on top, you can put different things like eggs, chicken, salad, stuff like that. But because I'm from Ecuador, I decided to do a tuna ceviche style salad on the top with some chips with green plantain. You know what is green plantain?
Yeah, oh, yes, I've eaten.
Oh, my God, I love green plantain.
I do.
We are addicted to that thing. And then for the main, I'm preparing Moro de Choclo for people that loves cheese and corn. It's a creamy rice. It's not a risotto, but it's a creamy rice style with two kind of cheese, mozzarella and parmesan cheese.
Yeah.
Yes, and roast chicken, Ecuadorian style, super juicy. So, yeah, I love that dish a lot. Like, we usually have it when we have birthday parties in Ecuador. So it represents a lot about my culture. And for me, being this the first supper club, is like a birthday party, like, I don't know, a baby shower or something.
A sort of celebration.
I'm going to, because it's the first time, I'm going to give some goodie bags for the people, like the parties, like you give them some souvenir from Ecuador that my best friend sent for all of you. I'm so excited. It's very special.
Yes.
Very, very special. And the last thing, the dessert, is a three milk cake. That is the best.
Three milk
cake. It's the best seller of Latin America. I know that all Latinos will be coming just for that dessert. It's very sweet. It's like a sponge cake, but wet, because we have three milks infusion and we put the cake inside
How can you have three milks? What's the difference between the milk?
It's evaporated milk, condensed milk, and whipped cream.
Yeah, and sort of what?
So, three milks.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yes, so it's really tasty. I know that Latinos are looking for this everywhere, because I was one of them.
Right. And to me, putting on a supper club shows a massive confidence in cooking. Where did you get your cookery skills from?
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, I learned to cook when I was a teenager with my mom, my aunties, and, well, our families are big, and we usually celebrate everything that we can. So for me, cooking was to show love and gratitude to others and to make your celebration a special day and people get together and enjoy food. So then after a few years of studying a bachelor in economics, after my master's in ecological economics.
You got a master's in economics, right?
Yeah, so after master in ecological economics in the University of Edinburgh, I lived there 6 years, but between my free time, I had courses like a private Japanese cuisine, Thai cuisine as well. So I always was like kind of doing my cooking behind the scenes.
Yes.
And, well, experience with friends as well, doing events, always cooking. And then last year, I decided to do it formally. So it's a mix of inheritance, curiosity, travel a lot. I used to travel a lot as well. So different cuisines, international cuisines also have part of my heart. So that's why I get into Ecuadorian food fusion with international one, because I can't decide. I'm a foodie and
yes,
it's impossible to decide.
Yeah, right.
But always Ecuadorian food in there. For sure.
Very good. And you're also very busy because you've been doing some online videos. You've been doing things like pasta making, haven't you?
Yeah, so I love make pasta. I love fresh pasta. And
and you've been doing private chefing as well in people's houses.
Yes, I love to do that because two things with food. I love to connect with people and also cook for them, and they know more about Ecuadorian food or fusion cuisine. So they love to have something intimate in their home. So I'm happy to go there. You can see them admiring you because you are cooking for them with so much love.
Do they come and stand and watch what you're doing?
Yeah. They're chatting.
Yeah,
and
they're right. Like, it must be difficult because you don't know where things are kept and, you know, in the kitchen, you don't know where stuff is necessarily.
Yeah, at the beginning, every time that I go, no, before I go, I'm asking them if they can take pictures of the kitchen or the oven just to see the brand or just to see if I don't know how to use it. So I check online. But
I'm not about, I mean, people have precious things like precious plates. Do you not worry about dropping one?
Yeah, of course. That's the biggest fear there because they put the best plates for their dinner because it's a special day, like the 26th anniversary or 40 years old, like they are the birthday party, so they put the best things they find. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Like telling them in advance, like, do you have anyone to help you with this, to serve the plates? If there are a lot of people, if there are only 5, 7, I can handle myself, but I'm like going slowly and be careful with that as well. But in other cases, they hire waitress. So, so I don't have to be concerned about that part, hopefully.
Wow, what a great thing to do. And anyway, back to the supper club. We haven't actually said where it is, when it is, how much it is. So could you give us those details?
This will be in Coffee World, the Espresso Bar.
In Milton Country Park.
Yeah, it's like opposite than Tesco, I think, the huge
Isn't
Tesco
that big
over there.
Tesco?
Yes.
Yeah.
And when we'll be on the 1st of March at 6:30 p.m., serving at 7.
And do people bring their own drinks?
No, the espresso bar wanna sell the drinks. Everything that I'm preparing is halal, so it's for everybody welcome that they want a special dinner with halal meat. It's this is the one. So the place. Yes, they're selling fast. I think I'm pushing the coffee world to put more tickets, because they I think the last time I saw they have 5 tickets. So
well, 5 left.
5 left. Yeah. That's all. I think they're going to put 10 more. Fingers crossed. It's £45 this time at a discounted price, because I'm just starting. And they want to welcome more people in their cafe. They are lovely. They are lovely. Literally, they just text me and say like, "Oh, any chance that you do supper clubs?" And I was like, "All right, yeah, why not? I love it."
So 6:30 for 7 on the 1st of March, £45 Coffee World. And how do people book? Do they contact you somehow?
Yes. So on my Instagram or Facebook, I'm like at danny.cooks.
Danny is D-A-N-N-I.
Yes.
At danny.cooks.
Yes.
Right, so they can contact you.
Yeah, I have the link of the supper club in my bio, so they can just click there and book in immediately.
Yeah.
It's really, really easy. Also, I'm promoting everything every 2 days, so they can see the link and they can see also new recipes. I usually uploading things and the supper club. I don't want to.
Yeah. I know you're looking forward to it.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Great. Well, I hope it's a good night, Danny.
Yes.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
That sounds like such a good night. The date again for that is the 1st of March. There's Supercharge with Wine, 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 and that takes us into our wine news. And we begin with Gutter and Stars, who have 2 new wines that are going to be released on the 14th of February. That's a Pinot Noir called The Dark End of the Street and a Chardonnay called Star 69 Long Player. They're available to order now, and there is a free delivery until the end of this month. Deliveries begin in the week commencing 10th of Feb.
Cambridge Wine Merchants has a quiz at the Cherry Hinton Road branch on the 19th of February from 7 to 9pm. Questions will range from general knowledge to history, film and the very popular blind wine tasting round. You can book online or in the shop. These events do sell out, so booking well in advance is advised.
Also on the 19th of February at the Wine Rooms in Hills Road, there is a tasting of wines from Rioja and Ribera, hosted by Steve Hovington. 6 wines will be tasted. It begins at 7pm and costs £30.
A Famille Perrin wine dinner takes place at Market House in Market Square at 7pm on the 26th of February. There are 5 courses paired with 6 matched wines from Famille Perrin, and the cost is £105.
And there's the music signalling time for news from social media.
Yeah, Finboys have added sashimi to their stuff you can buy online. And you can get things like fish pie, all sorts of things online. You just order and then you go and pick it up from the shop. So sashimi is a new addition. Now, this is really quite interesting. Quai Hall Estate has some beef cattle that are out all year round. We featured beef cattle out all year round from the Wandering Herd recently. Tim Haywood is a big advocate for that sort of beef, saying it's extremely flavoursome. Well, Quai Hall Estate has a pop-up meat shop coming up where they sell some of that meat. And it's on Friday the 21st of February from 3:30 till 7 in Quai Village Hall. And they're going to have some special cuts, short rib, T-bone steaks, as well as the mince that Tim Haywood in particular has been talking about recently. The price list will be posted before the sale. Yeah, that should be really interesting. What else is there? The author, Alison Stockham, has a new book called The Man She Married, and she's given a lovely thanks to Julia and Tracy at Emerald Foods, who are on Cambridge Market, and she says they sell the best coffee to keep me going. So I thought that was rather nice. And Amelie Restaurants has moved now out of the Grafton Centre, but they are still very much there at Ben's Yard. Half-term event at the Food Museum, which sounds really interesting, discovering how complex and magical our sense of taste really is. They're being inspired by leading flavour magicians, which sounds extraordinary. I think finally, for now, Provenance Kitchen presents a kitchen disco on the 20th of March from 6:30 to 10:30, celebrating the long-awaited spring equinox with great music and a mouth-watering wood-fired feast with cocktails in their bar. Yeah, that's it. That's an update.
Now, what with it being so cold lately, it's particularly nice to warm up with some good food when you're out and about. We mentioned croquetas earlier in the programme, which you can get from the Pinchitos stall at Cambridge Market, courtesy of Raphael. Well, here he is now.
Well, it's a Spanish food, traditional recipe, but in a modern way. Sandwich plus bravas potatoes, aubergine chip, churros with chocolate.
Was food always a part of your life?
It was like a hobby, yes, yeah. But when I came here, I started to cook more. I came from Madrid, and I came here before I finished my studies and working at the same time. So I saw the opportunity to try in the market.
Because there wasn't much Spanish food available on the market at the time.
So I said, I'm going to try because I know how to cook some typical things in Spain. So yeah, I'm very, very happy here. So.
Yeah. Customers, are you ordering your favourites today?
Yes, just a bravas.
Patatas bravas. Crispy fried potatoes with a slightly spicy salsa bravas sauce.
Is there spicy bravas sauce?
Pero puedes decir...
Sí, claro, only with olive oil.
A typical Spanish tapa.
He's hard to find here.
Yeah, we keep missing him.
But we always come back for the bravas, it's really nice.
We've worked it out now, though, yeah. So come on
Follow
the right days.
Follow Instagram.
Yeah.
Can we give an example of something you said is traditional and you said served in a modern way?
Yeah, because for example, the concept of the meal deal, the sandwich is mollete antequera bread. We make ourselves and it's a typical bread from the south of Spain. It's very soft and combined very well with an ingredients. So in my case, I put with some Spanish omelette. Instead of cooking in a pan, I cook here in the griddle. Put some aioli sauce, tumaca, lettuce, and you can combine with the bravas or with the churros with chocolate as a meal deal. So I think it's a different offer you don't find in Spain because the mix of the brava potato. Mm. You can continue, sorry. Yeah.
How much?
$4.50 like this, okay. $4.99 churros and bravas together.
So churros. Where are you from?
Spain.
In Mallorca.
¿Qué tal? Muy buenas. Yeah.
Let's say if I'm a brand new customer, anything that you would suggest?
I always suggest, if you're not vegan, try the Spanish omelette sandwich. Because in my opinion, the egg is the best protein. It's really, really delicious. And you know, you remove your hungry for the rest of the day, and if you combine with any side, it's really nice. It's a very good lunch. If you're vegan, I always recommend the vegan, of course. Everything, for example, the churros and chocolate is vegan. The aubergine chips is vegan, the bravas with the vegan alioli is vegan also, so 80% of the menu is vegan, except the Spanish omelette. Yeah. Sería las bravas. Bravas a 4.5, bravas y churros a 4.99, berenjena frita.
Can I just ask, one of the girls, she pointed out this.
Yeah, this is the aubergine chips. You know, it's like breaded or like a tempura. It's very typical in the east of Spain. You know, it's just slices of aubergine fry, but it's a good side for a sandwich. So instead of being portions or tapas, it's like a side for the sandwiches. Yeah, yeah. In a modern way, you know. Seasonally, I prepare also croquetas. It's croquettes. In my case, I always prepare instead of butter with extra virgin olive oil, the bechamel sauce. I try to be creative with the flavors. So sometimes can be the normal ones, mushroom, spinach. But sometimes I prepare one of my favorites, the margarita, like the pizza. So it's a basil tomato mozzarella in a croquette. It's very, very nice. But I prepare when I think I'm going to sell them easily, because sometimes you can bring here 100 croquettes and it's a bad day in the market, you have to throw away or something. So, you know, I choose when I bring them. But the rest is always the same.
So that's Rafael and his Spanish food stall at Cambridge Market.
Yes, the name of my business is Pinchito, and I'm in the market Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays. So you can find me here practically the whole year.
So, no, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Esta sí, sí, para ti.
Muchas gracias. Hasta luego.
Now, we've been covering things of concern going on around the city, such as the future of Cambridge Market and the fears of it getting smaller. Then there's the closure of Mill Road Bridge and what effect that will have on the shops, cafes and restaurants, particularly on the Romsey side of the bridge. And last week, we heard about developments on Barnwell Road affecting the businesses there, particularly Coconut, the Sri Lankan restaurant that opened recently. I popped in to see Saminda, who runs the restaurant with his wife, Niroshi.
Because I heard just the other week about the possibility of Coconut closing down.
The threat of moving out from the location is true because council has plans to demolish this building and we will be really happy to continue somewhere if we have to go out from this place.
I remember speaking with you and your wife Niroshi back in October 23 it was. You were so enthusiastic about the place and you were just, I think you're just in the process of having refurbished.
You can see the difference that we have done. And the community in Barnwell was very happy because they are like kind of proud to have good business places. We were proud to bring people from different areas, even outside from Cambridge, to sort of present Sri Lankan food. The problem, and it's very difficult to find a place in Cambridge for a restaurant, and even other restaurants are struggling a lot because of the high rates and uncertainty about the way that road closures happen.
So I guess the word to take away from this is continue, I suppose. Coconut is intending to continue.
Yes, business continuity is very important because even though like we have some quieter days and not so good moment, that we have already invested our time and we are doing our best to sort of present something really good to the community and the customers. So that's really important, definitely.
You know, Coconut have been doing so well since they opened. Niroshi worked as a chef de partie at Selwyn College when she came to Cambridge, and all her colleagues encouraged her to open her own restaurant, and that's how Coconut came about. Now, I was worried that this forced closure might put Saminda and Niroshi off from opening another restaurant, but they have said they definitely wish to carry on. But it's tricky finding a good place in Cambridge, especially with the high rates that we have and the uncertainty that road closures bring. We saw how that threat made the owners of Little Petra, the Lebanese restaurant, move from Mill Road to Hills Road. So we hope that the Coconut doesn't fall too far from the Cambridge tree and we lose another fine eatery. One that's been championed by Alex Rushmer. So do check out their menu online at coconutcambridge.co.uk.
And that move of Little Petra's to Hills Road has been very beneficial to them, haven't they?
Because they've
got a bigger place and it's always packed.
Yes.
So I think they've done really well. That's just great. Anyway, have you got time for a quick look at the newspaper, Matt?
Very quick, yes.
Okay, very quick indeed. In Feast, the Guardian's food supplement, there's a section called Kitchen Aid, and today it talks about how to add sparkle to green cabbage, which, you know, might strike you as a bit of an odd possibility. And one of the ideas, which I've used several times actually, is particularly with hispy cabbage, putting it down in a hot pan with lots of oil and getting some caramelisation. And it is absolutely delicious.
Yeah?
It really is delicious. And they suggest adding chopped herbs, toasted nuts or pine nuts and so on. A great column, that. Rachel Roddy has a recipe for Italian lemon crumble cake tart, which looks absolutely fantastic. Can I go on or am I near the end?
Yeah, I've got another 30 seconds.
Okay. Benjamin Ebuhi has a recipe for orange and cardamom muffins, which look fantastic. And Felicity Cloak is the Guardian person today who's comparing different types of tins of baked beans. This is a new feature. And rather distressingly, in my view, it's Marks and Spencer's that get the vote for the best tins of baked beans. Sad. Anyway, I think I'll stop there.
And there's Green Onions, taking us into our jobs section. Eclipse Bakery needs an experienced baker as assistant head baker with a salary of up to $35,000. The bakery is close to Fenstanton and you'll need to have had experience in the role, including working with sourdough and other enriched breads. And having your own transport is essential too. Just email dolcidopatisserie@icloud.com.
Fitzbillies is looking for a full-time baker and a full-time cake baker. Details on the Fitzbillies website.
Cambridge Cookery Bakery Cafe is looking for a front of house person with some barista experience to work on Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays. That begins at the end of February.
The Food Museum in Stowmarket wants a weekend cafe assistant. Details on their website.
Daily Bread off King's Hedges Road has vacancies for people who want to join the team in day-to-day running of the shop. Two part-time permanent positions are available between 16 and 24 hours a week, and weekend availability is essential. The deadline for applications is noon on the 14th of February. Just go to the Daily Bread website for more information and to apply.
Burwash Larder is looking for a supervisor for 2 to 3 days a week and a manager for 40 hours a week. There's a minimum of 3 weekend shifts in a month with both roles, and you can get a job description from Burwash Larder if you email info@burwashlarder.com.
The Brew Project is hiring a kitchen porter and bakery assistant with an immediate start, up to £15 per hour with a flexible rota, 25 to 30 hours a week, daytime shifts including Saturdays, and you can direct message them via Instagram.
And Cambridge Dining Company is looking for an events preparation chef with flexible working hours and no split shifts. Email sophied@cdc.events for details.
Well, that's about all we've got time for today. We're here on alternate Saturdays at 12 noon, repeated on Mondays at 2 p.m, and available as a podcast from all the usual places. Coming up next on Cambridge Radio is The Music Mix, followed at 4 p.m. by Home with Lucy Malazzo. Then it's Cambridge Challenges at 6 p.m.
We'll be back on the 22nd of February with lots more food and drink news and all that sort of thing. Until then, from Matt and me, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Can I kick it to all the people who can quest like a tribe does? Before this, did you really know what I was? Comprehend to the track force, why? Cuz getting mentions on the tip of the vibe buzz. Rock and roll to the beat of the funk fuzz. Wipe your feet really good on the rhythm rug. If you feel the urge to freak, do the jitterbug. Come and spread your arms if you really need a hug. Afrocentric.